We're delighted tonight to have a special friend come and minister to us. Gerald and Alice Horn are long-term missionaries to the Philippines. They were at one time colleague pastors with me in one of our deep south Dixie states, and later pastored in Fair Grove, not far from here, and for some time now they have been here in Central Assembly. We are delighted to have them, and Gerald is coming to minister to us tonight. I know that you're going to be blessed, and I know that you're going to pray that the Lord will use him and anoint him as he shares the word of God with us tonight. Let's greet him warmly as he comes to minister to us this evening.
Well, praise the Lord. It's an awesome opportunity that I have tonight. My wife and I came here 2 years ago after pastoring from Fairgrove. We went to Calvary Christian Assembly of God out on the west side of town, out near Barnstown and Country. We were out there for 11 years. Prior to that, as Don has said, we were missionaries for 21 years in the Philippines and Laos. And I'll tell you, it has been an awesome journey. If you knew my background, I grew up in a small town in Louisiana called Provençal, and I'll guarantee you, unless you are from that area, you'd never know where it was at, because it only had 300 people, and that was on Saturday night when everybody came home. But I never anticipated being involved in any kind of work. I was saved when I was 24, thanks to Alice, a dear wife that prayed me into the kingdom of God, along with the people at First Assembly of God in Shreveport. And I had no intention of being in the ministry because I did not have a religious background, church background. I went to Bible school. I went to Southwestern, where I met Don, and along with others, and spent 3 years there, primarily just wanting to learn more about the Bible so I could be the best Christian I could be. But during my time there, God began to deal with my heart about being involved in missions, and so I left there in 1967, went to Poplarville, Mississippi, where I pioneered a church in a community of about 3,000. And then in 1970, we made application for missions. And we came, met the board in February of that year, and they approved us. And the rest is history. So tonight, though you may not know me as an individual, I want to say that I'm known as Alice Horn's husband, also known as Lori Van Veen's dad. And so if I'm proud to be referred to either one of those. It doesn't matter to me. I appreciate my family so much and appreciate the fact that they are faithfully serving the Lord. And it's just exciting being a part of the kingdom of God and moving forward and seeing things accomplished for the glory of God. And so I count it a real privilege to be speaking here tonight. Pastor Jeff and Brother Don got their heads together and gave me this invitation, so I want to thank them, both of them, for this opportunity. In light of what normally happens in this service, I'm going to tell a joke. That's normally the way it starts off, so and I know that this crowd that I'm with tonight can relate to what I'm going to say, so please listen carefully. An old man and woman were married for many years. Whenever there was a confrontation, yelling could be heard deep into the night. The old man would shout, "When I die, I will dig my way up out of the grave and come back and haunt you for the rest of your life." Neighbors feared him, and the old man liked the fact that he was feared. To everyone's relief, he died of a heart attack at 98. His wife had a closed casket at the funeral, and after the burial, her neighbors, concerned for her safety, ask her, "Aren't you afraid that he might indeed be able to dig his way out of the grave and haunt you for the rest of your life?" The wife said, "Let him dig. I buried him upside down, and I know that he won't ask for directions." And with this crowd, I think we can all identify with that. Well, praise God. I want to read a verse of Scripture, or a group of Scriptures, found in 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1 to 16. And I think we have it to put up on the board. Yeah. And I'm going to be using the King James. Now, the reason for this is technology has caught up with me, but I haven't caught up with technology. And so it's best for me to preach from something that I've preached all my life instead of trying to preach from the NIV or the Message or one of the other translations. So please bear with me tonight and let me use the King James Version. "And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, 'As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word.' And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, 'Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook. I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there.' So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, and he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, 'Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee.' So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks, and he called to her and said, 'Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink.' And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, 'Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand.' And she said, 'As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse, and behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for my son, me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, 'Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me therefore a little cake first, and bring it to me, and after make for thee and thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of Israel meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of all fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth.' And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of all fail, according to the word of the Lord, which was spoke by Elijah." Father, I pray tonight that you would add your blessing now to the reading of your word and the ministry of your word. I ask, dear God, that your Holy Spirit might take the words that I speak and minister to the needs, dear God, that I feel that are here in this service. You know every individual, dear God. You know every situation that they face. And I pray in Jesus' name that your blessed Holy Spirit would minister to each one according to your will and purpose. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. My message tonight is entitled, "When God Makes the Arrangements." Now, you can see the scripture reading that I have here was a little bit unusual arrangements to be made. I mean, they were made, and Elijah was sustained as a result of that. These arrangements involved a brook, some ravens, and a widow. And God could have arranged for a river to provide for water for Elijah, but instead he chose a brook or a small stream. According to Genesis 1, verse 6 to 9, water is under God's control, and we know that. Isaiah 40, verse 12 says that even the water was measured in the hollow of his hand. And so tonight we realize that the Bible gives many illustrations of God's control over water to meet the needs of people. The dividing of the Red Sea is a great example. The bringing water from the rock, a great example. Causing the iron axe head to float or to swim, and turning water into wine. These are all indications that God controls all of these things, and we simply have to put our faith and confidence in Him and His ability to do what He has promised. God could have used a king to feed Elijah, but instead, He made arrangements with a widow. He didn't choose a king with a storehouse of plenty. He chose a widow whose barrel of meal was almost empty. But I'll assure you, when God makes the arrangements, you don't have to worry about what's going to happen from that point forward. Some of you here tonight are facing situations that perhaps you're wondering how God is going to work it out. Or maybe He's spoken to your heart already and caused you to realize that He has things under control and all you have to do is trust Him. And that's what I want to emphasize tonight, is that realization that God is still on the throne and every arrangement He makes is going to be for best for you in spite of the fact that you may not fully understand it. God is able to do that. The Lord can make arrangements with any aspect of His creation. You have to realize that. He gave manna from heaven, honey from a carcass. He sent fire from heaven, words from the mouth of a donkey, and conviction from a rooster. All of these things are possible. He used hailstones to smite the Canaanites, thunder to confuse the Philistines, hornets to fight the Amorites, and the earth swallowed up the rebellious men, Nadab and Abihu. All of these things is an indication of God being in control of everything and every situation. And that's something we've got to always rely on. I found that true in our service for the Lord. There have been times we did not understand everything that was going on, but at the end, we realized that God had it under control. That's the marvelous truth that I want to emphasize. Many times the Lord's arrangements seem foolish to the unbeliever. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 27 and 29 saith, "But God hath chosen the foolish things of the earth to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And hath the base things of the world and things that are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence." So we have to realize tonight, friends, and I know I'm speaking to the choir tonight. I use that term. I'm speaking to those that have put their faith and confidence in God. I'm not going to bring you any new revelations. I'm simply going to try to instill in you a confidence to act upon what you know and what you have received and what you have seen God do in the past. That's the thing that we have to understand. First of all, the Lord's arrangements are perfectly timed. According to Exodus chapter 17, the Israelites were ready to stone Moses because of their thirst for water had become so severe that they didn't know what to do. Moses cried out to the Lord, "What am I going to do?" Then the Lord said to Moses, "Go on before the people and take with thee the elders of Israel, and thy rod, wherewith thou smotest the river, take it in thy hand and go, and behold, I will stand before thee upon the rock of Horeb. And thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come out water out of it that the people may drink." Now, I realize that we have to remember that the second time he was going to do this, he made a mistake and it cost him his trip into Israel, into the promised land, because he disobeyed God. But this time he obeyed God and the water came gushing forth. And that's what he did. He did. God was saying, when you are get there, I'll be there. The arrangements have been made. Trust me. Verse 6 says, and Moses did as so in the sight of the elders of Israel with perfect timing. God miraculously brought forth water from the rock. His timing is always right. In 2 Kings chapter 19, we read of King Sennacherib defying the God of Hezekiah. He wrote a letter to Hezekiah, king of Israel, Judah, in which he listed the other nations that his army, the Assyrians, had destroyed. And he said that Judah would also soon be destroyed. Sennacherib marched his army toward Judah, camped for the night. But while he was marching and camping, Hezekiah prayed. Here's what he did. Lord, bow down thine ear and hear. Open, Lord, thine eyes and see. I beseech thee, save thou us. Verse 16 and 19. Then we find in verse 35, as you continue on through chapter 19 of 2 Kings, and it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote the camp of the Assyrians, and 185,000. 185,000, and when they came, arose in the early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. My, I don't know if I'd only even seen that sight, but nevertheless, 185,000, and because Hezekiah had prayed, Sennacherib could not have dominion over him. God had arranged this, and God saw it through. In Acts chapter 12, we see Simon Peter apprehended, incarcerated, and headed for execution. But that night, just a few hours before the execution was to take place, God made arrangements for Peter's deliverance. You can read verse 6 to 10. And he talks about how the angel came and loosed the bonds that he had and told him, he said, follow me, and led him past, caused the soldiers to sleep so they would not see him. And he went out that night delivered. God's timely intervention on Peter's behalf outwitted the purpose of Herod. That's what he wanted to do, was kill Peter. He had also the expectation of the Jews and the watchfulness of the soldiers. They were all thwarted because God made other arrangements for him and delivered him from a very, very difficult situation. Secondly, the odds are meaningless when God makes the arrangements. The Israelites were torn between two opinions. And Elijah cried out, how long halt thou between two opinions? If the Lord God is God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 21. Elijah further stated, I only, remain a prophet of the Lord. But Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on the wood, and put no fire under it. And I will dress the other bullock and lay it on the wood and put it on no fire under, and call on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God who answers by fire, let him be God. You'll notice the odds. Elijah was not only outnumbered 450-1, but by the prophets of Baal, but by the prophets of the groves or Asherah, they were numbered another 400. And so the odds increased, the ratio increased to 850-1. Now, I don't know that I would like those odds. But if I knew God was on my side, I think I could be comfortable with that. But this is what we see in this situation. And we find that after much prayer and abuse of themselves, these prophets, they continue to pray and believe God and believe their God. And Moses says, well, maybe he's sleeping. You know, and they continued on and on and on and praying, and nothing happened. And then Elijah saw that God had made arrangements for him. Here's what he said. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God. Then the Lord, fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. When all the people saw that, they fell on their faces and said, the Lord, he is God. He is God. Now, you have to realize that there are times that you face situations that you don't know exactly how things are going to work out. But please understand, God is making arrangements at all times. He never forsakes you. He never forgets what you're going through. And he will always be there for you. Trust him and believe that he will. The third thing is, things happen when God makes the arrangements. Lepers are cleansed. As he, Christ, entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off, and they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go, show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass, as they went, they were cleansed. I think that as I reflect on Jewish history, I think probably one of the most miserable feelings would be to be a leper. You had to isolate yourself from everybody. If they got too close to you, you had to cry out, unclean, unclean. And can you imagine going through life in that way? But God saw 10 lepers, and he healed them. Now, I know we make a big issue over the fact that only one came back to say thanks, but I still think that all 10 were cleansed. That's what the Word of God tells us, and we have to realize. Sight was given. And I am the light of the world, Jesus declared. And then he said, when he had spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay and said unto him, go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. You know, the Jewish leaders, they got a little upset about this. And they asked him, who did this? He said, I don't know who did it. He said, but I was blind, and now I can see. And that was the thing, because the arrangements were made by God. And God intervened, and God undertook for him. Thirdly, believers are empowered. Shortly before his ascension, Jesus said, and behold, I send the promise of my Father unto you. But tarry you in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Luke 24:49. And the disciples obeyed and assembled in the upper room and tarried. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. We have a promise, and we have to understand that God doesn't always work things out the way we think. I've seen people under my ministry. I've seen a young lady that was in our church in Poplarville, Mississippi. She came and stood just to the right of the pulpit and began to praise God, and almost immediately she was filled with the Spirit. Myself, it took me more time. I had to do some tarrying, but God still did the work. And it's amazing what God does sometimes in the lives of people, and the way that he can fill them with his Spirit, regardless of where they're at, regardless of what they're doing, regardless of their full comprehension of what's going on, taking place. God is a merciful God, and when he makes the arrangements, you can be sure you can trust him all the way. The Lord has made arrangements for everything that we need. He has made arrangements for today, tomorrow, for time and eternity, for life and death. All of those arrangements have been made. I sometimes greet people and they ask me how I'm doing. I've said I'm doing pretty good for an old man. And Alice has told me that I shouldn't be telling everybody I'm an old man. I'm not going to give you my age, but I'm getting to the point that I'm starting to realize that I'm getting old. But nevertheless, I realize that my life is in God's hands. And I don't know, I've never prayed, Lord, let me live to be 100. I've always prayed, Lord, just let me live long enough to be active and still keep my mind and be able to do things, you know. That's all I really ask for. Otherwise, Lord, you know, I'm ready to go home. And so I'm not saying. But anyway, he has all of those things. The Lord made arrangements for our salvation. Salvation originated in him. He saw the means, he planned the great achievement, and he developed a wondrous plan. It's so simple, and so many times we try to complicate it. We make it more complicated than what it is, and we have to realize that he has done that. It was all accomplished through Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, and his willingness to come to this earth, live as a babe, go into maturity, into adulthood, and then be sacrificed on a cross at Calvary. That's the plan that God had made. The Lord has made arrangements for our healing through Christ's sacrifice. We find in 1 Peter 2:24, by whose stripes ye were healed. Now, I like to emphasize, and I think we all understand that, it said were. That means it's already taken place. It's already accomplished. And I've been the benefactor of some of that healing. I was working, when I was in Bible school, I was working at Red Ball Motor Freight, lifting boxes and all the other things that are involved in taking cargo off one truck and putting it in on another truck. And my first rib separated from my breastplate. I could give you the biological name for that. But I remember I was in so much pain. And they told me, you can't work anymore. You'll have to take off. And I remember going to University Assembly of God in Waxahachie on a Wednesday night. And I went forward and I asked them to pray for me. I said, I had a girdle on here like this, holding everything together, and it was still quite painful. And they prayed for me that night, and God touched me. I knew that God had touched me. I went back to that Catholic doctor that Red Ball Motor Freight had, and I walked in, and it had only been a week, and he looked at me and he said, "Son," he said, "what are you doing here?" I said, "God healed me." And I said, "I want to go back to work." He had a big old hand about twice the size of mine, and he hit me on the chest like this. He said, "Does that hurt?" I said, "No, sir, it doesn't. Go back to work." Praise God. God is good, and God makes all the arrangements that we need if we can just simply learn to trust him and believe that he will. The Lord has made arrangements to supply all of our needs. Philippians 4:19, "But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory." In Christ Jesus, and according to riches in glory. We have to realize that all of these things, when God makes the arrangement, you can trust him. And I feel tonight that God gave me this message for a specific purpose. And that is because there may be some of you here tonight that are dealing with a situation where you're not sure exactly what to do. I want you to know God will make arrangements for you. And whatever it is, you can trust him and you can believe that he will be with you. And I trust tonight that you will reach out and receive that which God has provided through his Son, Jesus Christ. Whether it's a physical need, a financial need, a decision to relocate, a decision to change jobs, whatever it may be. I don't know what it may be, but I know one that does know. And I want you to reach out and trust Him and believe that He will provide your need. He has the arrangements already made. Would you bow your heads with me tonight? Father, in the name of Jesus, I believe that You have given me this message, Lord, for a purpose. And that is so someone in this congregation tonight, dear God, might be trying to make a decision, Lord, and help them to realize that You have already made arrangements to take care of whatever they're dealing with. Lord, I believe that You know every individual, You know every situation, and I trust tonight, dear God, that we will be responsive to what You speak to our hearts, and help us, Lord, to receive that which You have provided, Lord, and not to question the arrangements, but to simply say, yes, Lord, I'll do what You want me to do. I'm going to ask you a question. Are you here tonight, and maybe you're in the process of making a decision? Maybe you're in the process of something going on in your life that you need to know for assurance that God is making the arrangements for you. Is there anyone by an uplifted hand that would say, yes, God bless you, thank you. Many hands going up. God bless you. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for being obedient to the Lord. I said when I came here, Lord, help me to just get myself out of the way and give You an opportunity to do something for these individuals. And I want you to stand with me tonight. And I want those that have raised their hands to raise their hand again so that someone near you can come and pray with you. They're not gonna interfere in anything. All they're gonna do is pray with you. By an uplifted hand, please just raise your hand and let someone come with you, go to you, and pray for you, and believe tonight that God is making the arrangements that need to be made. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank You. We praise You, dear God, for Your faithfulness, Your goodness, and Your mercy. We ask tonight, dear God, that these that have raised their hands, Lord, would come to realize, Lord, that if the arrangements that have been made are not compatible, dear God, but You speak to their hearts, dear God, help them, Lord, to revel in that realization. Help them, dear God, to move closer to You, dear God, and simply say, Lord, I trust You. I believe, God, that You're mindful of what I'm going on in my heart and life, and I need Your help, Lord. And I pray, dear God, tonight that You would extend Your hand to every individual, dear God, that has raised a hand. And there may be others, Lord, that did not raise a hand, Lord, but still need a voice, a word from You, dear God, to let them know that You have made arrangements, dear God, and You're with them, dear God, in the midst of the situation that they face. I glorify You, dear God. I do give You praise and thanks for Your faithfulness, for Your goodness and mercy. I rejoice in You, O God. And thank You, Lord, for speaking to every individual and every individual, Lord, that have been responsive to Your will tonight. Be with them, we pray. Be glorified in meeting every one of these needs we've asked. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus.